deliverance do. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Joel chapter 2, verse 18. This is the first of seven potent points in this portion. God will answer the prayers of his oppressed people and rise to their rescue. He will bring their sorrow to an end suddenly. Jesus said, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Matthew 24, verse 22. They will fall short 250 days of the 7 years that Satan purposes to dominate men and destroy the children of God. Joel begins this portion by speaking of God's blessing upon the land. The deliverance of Israel, related by other prophets, is implied. Reproach removed. Yea, the Lord will answer his people. Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Joel 2, verse 19. The Jews are known to be thrifty. They make and lay up money where others fail. To be rag and bottle gatherers is indeed a reproach to them, a hiss and a byword among the Gentiles. The most humiliating thing that could befall them is that their land should be barren. It is a stinging pain for a Jew to hear a Gentile say of him, "He is no good, he cannot make a living." Therefore, what a day that will be when the whole country will again be productive. How Israel will rejoice, especially when they turn to the Lord and acknowledge Jesus Christ to be their Messiah and King. Then the tables will be turned. Then it will be the time for the Gentiles to blush, for Jehovah will be on the side of Israel. They will again be the chief folk on earth. Their three leading commodities, corn, wine, and oil, food, intoxicant, and lubricant, will abound. There will be an ample supply. Revenge returned. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, and his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Joel 2, verse 20. See notes on Joel chapter 1, verse 4. Primarily, the army of the north refers to the Syrians, but other nations will be gathered at the gates of Jerusalem in that awful day. Compare Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 with Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 6. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya will be there. Gomer and all his lands, the house of Tugarmah of the north quarters and all his lands, Ezekiel 38, verse 6. Observe what God says to Gog, "And I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws," Ezekiel 38, verse 4. Read Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. Evidently, the countries east from Palestine will be desolate. See Jeremiah 50, verses 39 and 40, and Jeremiah 51, verses 42 through 43. The East Sea refers to the Caspian Sea, which is north of Persia and east from Russia. The Utmost Sea, also called the Great Sea, is the Mediterranean, which borders Palestine on the west. His stink shall come up, and ill savor shall come up. The odor of the egregious defeat of Israel's foes will ascend before them like the nauseating, steaming stench of a huge manure pile. The reproach will be turned upon them forever, because he hath done great things, or magnified to do great things, as the margin says. Satan will make Gog think an evil thought, conceive a mischievous purpose, to overrun and despoil the holy land, Ezekiel 38, verse 10. But Jehovah will know it and suddenly discomfit him and all his bloodthirsty horde. Prosperity pledged. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Joel 2, verses 21 and 22. How wonderful! God's eyes are upon the holy land to renew its fertility, and upon the animals to put an end to their groans and ferocity, Romans 8:21 and Isaiah 11:6-9. Everything everywhere in that region will abound with life and health and prosperity. The orchards will blossom and bloom and be fruitful. The vineyards will be green and vines laden with the most luscious grapes. The whole nation of Israel will be overwhelmed with prosperity, as illustrated by the fruitfulness of the vine and fig tree. The prophet's words of encouragement continue as he speaks now to the people. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Joel chapter 2, verse 23a. As if to say, you have not brought all this about by your own efforts. Your wealth has not purchased this sudden outburst of plenty. Neither have you merited it by your goodness. My grace, wisdom, and might, because of my covenant with your fathers, have wrought this for you. God had promised the land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for an everlasting possession, saying also, and I will be their God. Genesis 17, verse 8. Then follows the proof of it. The rains restored. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, or rains, the former rain and the latter rain, in, or as at, the first. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Joel 2, verse 23b through 24. Some basic facts must be noted in order to understand these words easily and clearly. First, Joel wrote as if the day of the Lord were in sight. See Joel 1:15 to 11 in chapter 3. He does not recognize the first advent of Christ and this church period. He beholds only Israel's past plenty while obedient under Joshua, and later, and then their poverty and the withholding of the rains because of their disobedience. The withholding of the rains and the nearness of the day of the Lord stirred him up to exhort them to repentance. Before proceeding, let the student observe that three Hebrew words in particular are used with reference to the rains in Palestine. Moreh, the early sprinkling rain, translated the first, the former, the early rain, which falls in October. Melkosh, the gathered rain, translated the latter rain, which falls in March, and Geshem, the heavy drenching rains, which include the former and the latter. Geshem is always plural and should be so translated as in Leviticus 26, verse 4, the Revised Version. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3, Ezekiel 34, 26, and Zechariah 10, verse 1, Geshem is translated showers. In our text in Joel, it is the rain, literally rains. Therefore, we may paraphrase the verse thus. For he hath given you moreh, the early sprinkling rain, in just measure, Revised Version, and he will cause to come down for you Geshem, the showers, that is both moreh, the early sprinkling rain, and Melkosh, the latter or gathered rain, as at the first when Joshua led Israel into Canaan. Four rain epochs. It is very important to know that four distinct stages or epochs are recorded concerning Israel and their reigns. First was the original promise. God said to Israel, if ye walk in my commandments and do them, I will give you rains, Geshem, in their season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Leviticus 26, verses 3 and 4, Revised Version. Compare also Deuteronomy 11, verses 14 and 15. That promise was most certainly fulfilled beginning under Joshua's dominion. Note Ezra chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, and also Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For lo, the winter is past, the rain, Geshem, rains, is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. Joel remembered the days of prosperity, saying, the land is as the Garden of Eden before the devastators. Joel 2, verse 3. And the phrase, in the first, Joel 2, 23, refers back to that time. The word month is not in the Hebrew. Second was the period of scarcity and drought, which Joel deplores, Joel 1, verses 10 through 20. Study also Jeremiah 3, verses 1 through 3, end Jeremiah 5, verse 24. Malachi 3:10 implies that time of barrenness of the land and promises plenty upon their repentance. Third, the rains fell and plenty was restored at the first advent of Jesus. This is exactly what Joel's words mean. He hath given you the former rain, more, moderately, or in just measure, Revised Version. This is also implied by such citations as James chapter 5, verse 7, Acts chapter 4, verses 34 through 37, and Acts 11:28 with Acts 3:19, which the student may examine. The margin reads, "He hath given you a teacher of righteousness," which refers to Jesus Christ. How marvelous that the Hebrew word more should mean both the spiritual blesser and the material blessings. Indeed, everything depends upon Christ. All God's plans and purposes are wrapped up in His Son. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or hold together. Colossians 1, verse 17. His coming brought spiritual and material plenty. It is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Job is a beautiful type of Christ at this point. He said of the people, "And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain." Job 29, verse 23. Joel and his contemporaries had only one advent of the Messiah in mind, even that which is yet future, but God saw much more. Therefore, Joel's declaration, "He hath given you the former rain moderately," was fulfilled by the advent of Jesus Christ as the teacher of righteousness in the New Testament. He is called a teacher come from God, John 3, verse 2. The Greek word translated teach or teacher occurs over 100 times with reference to Jesus. The term Greek term rendered teacher is translated master nearly 50 times. The word teach is used of the Holy Spirit only once in John 14:26, but He is nowhere called a teacher. Hence the phrase, "For He hath given you the former rain," teacher of righteousness, moderately in Joel 2:23, cannot refer to Him. Finally, we come to the fourth stage of Israel and of the rains on their land. This is yet future. Joel continues by saying, "And He will cause to come down for you the rain," geshem, rains or showers, "the former rain and the latter rain as at the first." What is said of David, the king's son, refers finally to Jesus. "He shall come down like a rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth." Psalm 72, verses 1 and 6. Hosea 6, verse 3 confirms this view. "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain," geshem, rains, "as the latter rain that watereth the earth," Revised Version. These citations speak of the Lord's second advent in particular. Hosea says, "After 2 days, or 2,000 years," as 2 Peter 3:8 explains, "will He revive us. In the third day, the millennium, He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight." He agrees with Joel's second or prophetic statement. From Hosea until Jesus returns will be more than 2,700 years. Hence, in His third dispensational day, Israel will be revived and their land will receive copious showers, the early and latter rains, and will abound in fruitage. Zechariah speaks of the same hopeful days, exhorting his people to "ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain," Zechariah 10:1, with the promise of the pent-up heavy rains, geshem, and a plentiful harvest. Without knowing it, in verse 23, Joel announced both advents of Jesus. In the first month, let us look at this perplexing phrase. This cannot mean that all the rains will be crowded into the first month. In fact, the word month is not in the Hebrew, nor is it implied by the adjective first. The Revised Version reads, "at the first month." Now supply "as" before "at," so that it reads, "as at the first." Then our problem is solved. Note how often "as" is used in Job 29:23, Psalm 72:6, and Hosea 6:3. This is evidently the meaning. When the Lord comes again, the land will be restored to its original productiveness, for the rains will fall upon it as copiously as they did at the first, or when Israel first dwelt therein, before the showers were withheld because of Israel's sins. The following four verses prove this to be the meaning. Read them and rejoice. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Joel 2:24-27. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. See notes on Joel 1:4. The unwordable devastation of the nations will be ended suddenly by divine interference at the coming of Jesus. Their ravages will be followed by marvelous prosperity. The land will be restored to its former fruitfulness. Hence these gracious words of hope and comfort. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. The Gentiles will never again have occasion to reproach the Jews on account of God's judgment upon them. They will no longer be a hiss and a byword among the nations. They will dwell in their own land and be safe forever.